No insisting with God. Yet I did not insist. Jeremiah 17, verse 16a. There's a footnote here. Schilder used the Dutch Statenbijbel. The whole verse, as will be published, the Lord willing, in the Dordt Study Bible, reads, Yet I did not insist, more than befits a shepherd following thee. Nor have I desired the day of death. Thou knowest it. That which came from my lips has been before thy face. Be quiet, do not insist, said Jeremiah the prophet. Neither did I insist. Jeremiah lived in a time quite similar to ours. The rumors of war continued to spread. There was much unfaithfulness among God's people. Many collaborated with the world. In the congregation there were many who would not tolerate Jeremiah's strict zeal for the service of God. He had pronounced judgment and prophesied that it would begin in the house of God, that the cup of God's wrath would first descend on the people and the city that were called by his name. Jeremiah 25 verse 28-29, compare Jeremiah 49 verse 12a and 1 Peter 4 verse 17. And the wrath had come, just as he had said. Soon the calamities, the troubles, worries, and judgment would come as well. Then the cowardly enemies of the prophet, who had always thwarted him, would say that he was a traitor to his country. They would claim that he undoubtedly enjoyed it when God used his rod, without mercy, against the people. And they would claim that he must have grinned in closely concealed delight at their misfortune, that he had been right in his predictions of doom. And Jeremiah? People could not look into his heart. Thus he laid his self-defense before God. Lord, he cried, thou knowest it. That which has gone out of my mouth has been before thy face. Yet I have not insisted with thee. That is the language of the ambassador of God, who placed his words before God and dared to say that he did not act like Jonah. For Jonah indeed wanted God to change his decree. Jonah actually desired the day of destruction. Jeremiah did not. He had to prophesy. The Lord had spoken. Who would then not prophesy? Amos 3 verse 8. But Jeremiah had left the result with God. Would God allow his people to perish? He knew what was right. Would he save them and keep his people together? Great was his mercy. Jeremiah merely passed on the message, and he did not want to take anything away from God's decree. He did not want to wrest something from God that was not included in the decree of the Eternal One. He did not want to impose his own wishes on God. God should do that which was good in his eyes. Do not insist with him, neither toward good nor toward evil. Do not insist with him. That is still the only secret to give peace in times of turmoil. Do not insist with him. Yet insist with the people. We implore you, be reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade people to believe. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11. Insist with the people, but do not insist with God. At least no insisting that would become intruding. Abraham did indeed insist with God when Sodom was threatened by brimstone and fire. Lord, if there are 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Genesis 18. But when he was put to silence, he kept quiet. Moses also insisted with God, blot me out of thy book. Exodus 32, verse 32. But when God turned him away, he kept quiet. Indeed, even Jeremiah himself had strongly insisted with God. If it were possible to change his decree for evil into a decision for good. But when the Eternal denied him the prayer for that people and forbade the insistence, Jeremiah 7 verse 16, 11 verse 14, 14 verse 11, he kept quiet. Do not insist on that which goes too far in God's eyes. Do not insist on your own will. Greater self-torment than this foolish insisting with God is not conceivable. Every true and faithful spiritual worker, every preacher, every father and mother, everyone who faithfully administers to others that word of prophecy and carries it out to others, experiences it as often as he does it. When a minister sees the fruit of his labor, it is often so little. When he asks about the remembrance of his words, it is frequently very disappointing. When at someone's sickbed he looks in vain for the power of God's promises which he had passed on, and especially in today's setting, when in spite of his exhortations he sees great apostasy in the Church of Christ, he can become so bitter that he no longer finds a place for grateful jubilation. Until the words of Jeremiah give him peace, leave the outcome to God. Do not ask for the hidden things. Do not be more merciful than God, but neither be more severe than the righteous one. Thus one can have peace in a time of apostasy, and thus peace will come. Ibsen, in his poem, Brand, wanted what Jeremiah did not want, to force the request from his God, to press God. But when the celebration came, there was no celebration for him. This man had one great trouble. He had wanted to count, to visualize his results. And later, when they chased him with stones into the night of loneliness, his life was broken. That is the end of him who insists with God, of him who puts his hand to the plow and wants to count the fruit before he himself believes it. And so people disappoint us, and also God. Thus, there will remain only one integral way to rest for the soul for everyone who faithfully carries God's treasures in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Do not insist, but hope and trust quietly in the salvation of the Lord. Preach the word, be faithful in your calling, you educators, in time and season, also in times of persecution. Always practice your prophetic duty in confessing God's name and testifying of his deeds, and leave the outcome to God. And on the last day you will see the outcome. Then it will be clear to everyone that Christ is a king who never has been without subjects and who has maintained his cause against the gates of hell. For hell will never conquer the city of God.